I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. This is podcast number 104, discussing Agent Carter, Season 2, Episode 3, Better Angels. And, as a bonus, Jessica Jones, Season 1, Episode 3, a.k.a.
It's Called Whiskey.
There you go. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil, and Jessica Jones on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe.
Because Code Pink!
If you'd like to talk to us about Code Pink, you can hit up our website, legendsofshield.com, where you'll find all of our contact information. We have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can also find us on Facebook, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast, Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Tumblr, legendsofshield.tumblr.com, YouTube, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or you can check out our forums on the Gunna Geek website, available at forums.gunnageek.com, or if you have a smartphone, you can search for Gunna Geek on the Tapa Talk app.
This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about our starting Guardians of the Galaxy crate giveaway. We're going to be talking about Agent Carter, Better Angels. We're also going to be talking about Jessica Jones, a.k.a. It's Called Whiskey. We're going to be running down your weekly Marvel news, your feedback, and highlights from the Blab chat room. So, Haley, you've had this Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy crate for over a month. We finally got our anonymous donor crate in, and we're ready to start the giveaway. What are we going to ask people to do?
Well, last week we were introduced to Bernard, the flamingo that Howard Stark brought home.
I think you mean Bernard.
Sorry, Bernard. My bad. And we know this is not the first or the last animal that Howard Stark is going to bring home. So what we need from you, listener, is what is the next animal that Howard's going to bring home? Don't just give us an animal breed, though. We need to know this animal's name and a little bit of backstory and personality about this animal.
Does this animal need to be a superhero?
I mean, no, but it couldn't hurt.
Or a villain like Bernard.
Bernard is definitely a villain. He was no help whatsoever when what's-his-name came in tonight, was he?
No.
He's Jarvis's nemesis.
Yes. The devil in pink.
The devil in pink. All right. So go ahead. Get a hold of us somehow. We have a lot of contact information. Email, our Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Twitter account works great. Facebook, whatever. Just tell us what's going to be the animal. A picture would be great, too. What's the animal? What's the name of the animal and the animal's backstory? And right. You will be entered in the contest to get your Marvel's Collector Core Guardians of the Galaxy crate, powered by Pop Funko.
And you have to let us know by February 24th, and before we start recording on February 24th, so that would be 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. Get it in before then, or hold your peace.
Or forever hold your peace.
Forever hold your peace.
All right. So last night, there was an episode on ABC of Agent Carter, Season 2, Episode 3. It was called Better Angels. Haley, what do you think?
Yes. I really liked this episode, and it's starting to feel very much like the 50s, because this episode, all this commie talk, total Red Scare happening.
Well, yeah, this is right around when all the Red Scare in Hollywood and the Hollywood blacklist and all that. This is, like, it started in 46, 47.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little premature overall, but yeah, it's the start of what happened. And to be honest with you, I'm disappointed a bit in Jack. I mean, I know this has been his personality all along, but he has bought into this whole thing hook, line, and sinker without having to see any proof.
It's exactly what I've come to expect from him.
I'm kind of hoping that it's some sort of like deep plot to uncover dangerous elements in the SSR or whatever. But then again, he's also just such a glory hound jerk that I'm kind of not surprised if it's not.
You'd think after he watched the film of this dark matter being creative that he would have thought, there's something wrong about this whole thing. You'd think, but whatever.
Yeah, he's, again, I want to believe that he's better than this, especially after the events of the first season. But then again, it's just, I don't like him.
The actor, too, is such a smarmy bastard that it's easy to not like the character he's playing.
I know, and I'm sure he's a perfectly nice guy in real life, but just...
Not from what I've heard.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could have just been a bad day, but there's a fairly infamous video of him on the set of House of Wax tearing into a crewman.
He was on One Tree Hill, too, right?
Yeah.
And One Tree Hill has been on in this household quite a bit. I mean, it's on Netflix. The DVDs have been purchased, sort of thing. So it's like constantly on between Charmed and Gilmore Girls and One Tree Hill. I'm like, really? This is a weird combination. Anyway.
I've seen one of those.
Right. So I've seen the guy on camera before and he goes back and forth. And I'm pretty sure some of it is his actual personality. So in any case, I'm wondering why Sousa didn't stand up for himself. I mean, they're both chiefs. It's not like Jack is bigger than Sousa.
Yeah, but there's like a chief and then a chief.
Yeah, but they're the same
rank.
Yeah,
that's...
Come on.
But I figured that like since... What's his name? Dooley?
Chief Dooley.
You know, died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I keep wanting to call his character's name for Boardwalk Empire. But since he died, I figured that... Since Thompson was the one who stepped into that role, that, yeah, he's probably the one with the most seniority and the one who is kind of the, I'm in charge, number one up here. And since he was the one who, I guess, sent Sousa out there, that Sousa still answers to him.
I kind of figure it's, New York is the main office, that's the headquarters, and then LA is a branch office. So yes, he's the director or the chief of that branch, but he's not the chief of the organization. That was my understanding of the hierarchy.
I see.
Yeah. No, that SP, though, that also, when that happened, I was like, why isn't he fighting back? And I was like, oh, okay, that's probably why.
He's also
occasionally kind of a pushover.
Yeah, that too.
He was interesting, though, when Jack wanted to take him out for a drink. He's like, no, not so much. So at least he was trying to distance himself a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, would you want to spend any more time with him than you absolutely had to?
No, not at all.
No, I hate my boss. I don't want to be around him at all, no matter who it is.
Oh, my boss was out today. It was awesome.
Yeah, party! Yeah, I love
everyone.
The boss
was so productive.
For a while there, at my previous job, my boss was out for an extended period of time and was replaced by an inflatable Tyrannosaurus in a bee costume. And everyone was very happy.
So I was driving around on Monday and I went by this used truck lot, but these are like good trucks, like, you know, the big jacked up, big, huge, I guess, hillbilly trucks. But I mean, they're nice. They're like 50 to 80, even though they're used, they're really expensive trucks, like $50,000 or $80,000. So we're going by it. And I noticed behind one of these big, big trucks, you know, like the 8-foot bed, the 6-passenger cab and everything jacked up 4x4. What's behind it? A big inflatable Godzilla doll going, bleh.
I approve.
Exactly. So my daughter's like, what? What? I don't get it. Why is that? Because the truck can run away from the dinosaur. I mean, if you got a dinosaur following you, you'd want a big 4x4 truck so you could get away with
faster.
It. Must go faster.
Must go faster.
Must go faster. Exactly. So Haley, what else we got?
Well, we get to head to Howard Stark's film set.
Okay, so when I was watching, first of all, that guy's costume looked like Woody, right? From Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was probably intentional.
Yeah. And so when they're like, yeah, I'm making Kid Colt, I was like, first I thought it was Kid Cody, so I was having a hard time Googling for that. But then Kid Colt and the covers that they showed, those were actual comics that were produced by Atlas Comics, which then later right. became Marvel.
And it's funny because there's a big canon debate about where some of these old Western comics fall. And some of them say they are comics within the Marvel comic universe. And then others argue that, no, this is actually the history of Marvel comics. So then when Peggy and Howard are saying, you know, you're comic making a movie movies? About a comic book. And he's like, no, this is a real character that existed.
Real one.
Well, that's awesome.
And while Bill was a real character in the West and there was comics made out of him. So you have that aspect of it, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love all the little nods that the writers throw in.
There's a bunch of Easter eggs. You know what? We probably got to get a comicbook.com article on Easter eggs going segment on here. We do it in Starling Tribune. It works out pretty good. I have not looked for one for Agent Carter yet, but I'm sure they exist. But
you have me and Lauren. We find all the Easter eggs. It's fine.
Yeah, we do. We're good.
Yeah, okay. We're all good. And once again, Marvel, if you're looking for any writer, idea person or whatever, these ladies on this podcast are available. Just hit them up. And they come as a team, or they can backstab each other for the slot.
Yeah, I mean, if there's only one spot, we'll totally go Battle Royale for it.
Pretty much, yeah.
But they are available, so hit them up.
Also, when they show up on the set and they're, like, taking one step to get out of frame, those two together forever and always.
I know, they're so great. They're hilarious. I love them. And then, of course, anytime Howard shows up and he's like, one part Howard Hughes and one part adorkable nerd. And you can totally see where Tony gets it from. Like the whole, oh, I'm not a, what did you say? I can't remember, but it's kind of echoed the whole, I'm not a team player thing. I'm not a joiner. Yeah, that's it.
Right. Oh, he had some good quotes in this episode that were straight from the Marvel movies.
Yeah, between that and him going on about science and movies and having a little lab there on the movie set. I loved it. Because, yeah, he's, you know, a flamboyant billionaire.
Eccentric.
Yeah, eccentric Howard Hughes figure. But he's also incredibly brilliant, and it's really easy to overlook that.
Right.
And also, Peggy is one of his dearest friends.
Yes.
And he's going to do anything to help make her happy, including rescuing her very crucial to her case friend from the Phantom Zone or whatever.
Which, again, just... For the love of God, people, don't drink or inhale or apply sodium nitrate to yourself. It's caustic.
Only if you're in ghost form, then it's fine.
Okay, if you're in ghost form, I suppose it's fine.
And it needs to be mixed with Velveeta.
Oh, God. At the very least, drinking silver nitrate will turn you blue. At the very worst, it'll burn you. So don't do it. But yeah, Velveeta is a cheese, and I will fight Jarvis on that, okay? I will fight him.
And it's like
it's a cheese-like byproduct.
Yes, byproduct. It's like Taco Bell meat filler. Yeah, kinda, sorta, not really. Okay, so Whitney Frost, she's really coming. Madam Mask, she's really coming out now.
Yeah, I love. Yeah. At one point when she's, I think, oh, it's towards the end. It's when the director comes in and you see the theater masks over her shoulder. It's like, ah, I see what you did there, Marvel.
So clever.
So clever.
And her real name is Agnes Cully. That is what we learned this week.
Yes.
I guess Agnes was a popular name back in the, I guess, teens
and
20s.
I know a lot of people that are like 80 years old named Agnes.
Yeah. So this brings me to the whole point. Remember last week when we were talking about, oh, she's inspired by Hedy Lamarr.
She really is.
So they basically took Hedy Lamarr's past wholesale with a frequency hopping invention. The only thing they didn't take was that Hedy Lamarr was from Austria. Oh. And yeah.
I mean, there's still backstory we could learn.
Yeah. The whole reason that Hedy Lamarr got real big into all these inventions and stuff was because she was really, really angry about the Nazis taking over her home country. And was like, I want to help beat them. And working at like the Hollywood Cantina isn't enough for me. So she went and she was like helping with all these inventions, including the frequency hopping thing.
Right.
But we'll see the background to where Whitney Frost is coming from, other than being a power-hungry genius who does not take kindly to being told that she looks old. I mean, nobody does, really, but...
Especially not actresses.
Ooh. And then between that and the skeevy director, it's like, I sympathize with her, I feel bad for her, but wow.
It was kind of an accident.
It was kind of an accident. But okay, the murder of her husband's mistress, not an accident.
That was not so much an accident.
But this, yeah, accident.
So he was an okay guy right up to the end. I mean, he seemed okay at least. And then it was like, ew. And
no, the second he walks in, he's like, I said I'd walk and hugged her. I was like, and here it comes.
Yeah.
It's like you can kind of tell.
Well, she took care of him. So you blame her?
I mean, I can't really. That was a bit extreme, but
he had it coming.
And we don't know if he's actually dead. Like, Wilkes is still around. I mean, this guy could still be around somewhere.
Oh, could you imagine if she has this, like, weird army of invisible not ghosts following her around?
Ew.
Just, like, floating pens and stuff.
But where do their corporeal. Where do their real bodies go? What happens?
E equals MC squared. So all of their mass gets converted into energy.
Something about Planck's constant, something about... I mean, they were using science words. At one point, I was like, oh, that's an actual science term that they're using. And it actually kind of applies to this.
Also, we talked last week about how this kind of ties into Doctor Strange. And I don't remember what it's called, Dark Something. Is kind of a tying thread between magic and science in the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm. And we still have to fully discover what exactly
Dark
is
Force.
Going on.
Thank you, Cajun Sean.
Cajun Sean to the rescue. Yeah, so by the end of the episode, though, her face is, the scar is getting more and more, and you could tell it's just going to keep going around her face until she has to take it off and then put on a mask.
Yeah, that, I want to see how they handle that.
It looks cool so far.
Yes, it does.
So, FBI Director Red Foreman, do you guys trust him? I don't trust him.
No.
Dumbass. No.
You're a dumbass if you trust him.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yeah, he's just, oh, you're doing such a great thing for the country. You just keep it up.
I would give you a medal if I could.
Like, okay. Bing, 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 bing. Thompson.
What do you think he's up to?
Part of me is like, oh, he's working with Hydra. But I don't think it's that simple.
I mean, he walks...
It might be that simple.
Right into the club. So obviously he's part of the club. I don't think...
Yeah, he's part of that club. He introduces him to that senator.
Mm.
Calvin,
so, yes.
In the TV universe, is that club supposed to be tied to Hydra? Because they've got that kind of V-shaped symbol that was on Will's uniform when he went on his mission.
I think it's part of it.
Like,
I mean,
you saw it on the wall as Peggy was coming out of that one
okay,
room.
Now I gotta look for a picture.
So, the Arena Club, and didn't we discuss that it's pretty much Secret Empire last time?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just part of all bad guys, so... I mean, we still have to bring out Hammer and AIM and Alpha Flight.
Yeah, it definitely looks like the Hydra symbol, like the V thing.
And then we had Leviathan last year. So they're just going to run through it until...
Yeah. Well, in the chat, Steven says he thought it was Hydra, but he feels like they're trying to make us think that. I feel like this is more of the organization older than Hydra.
Yeah.
That What's-His-Face was talking about at the end of the midseason.
Right, so I think Marvel's written themselves...
Powers Booth.
Right.
Yes.
I think Marvel's written themselves kind of into a corner because Hydra isn't known for all the way from World War II and what happened in Germany all the way up to Winter Soldier. It's there, it's growing. There's not like a huge known battle going on between Hydra and SSR and S.H.I.E.L.D. So I just don't think they can ever go there with Agent Carter. There will never be a SSR versus Hydra.
I think they can. I think it's just that the SSR can never figure out what it is.
Yeah, right. It's just going to be hinted at. It's always going to be there in the shadows. They'll have little nods for the audience, but it's never going to be something that they figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And okay, here's my theory, harebrained theory coming at you. So towards the end of the series, there will be an episode that ends with Sousa saying "Hail Hydra" to somebody. And then the series ends with them finding out that Sousa is a traitor, but they don't find out who he's working for.
No.
See, you've been a big proponent of Sousa working for Hydra. I think we're seeing the origin story of Thompson, a.k.a. Grant Ward, a.k.a. Dumbass, being part of that whole structure of Hydra or the Secret Empire, whatever you want to call it. I think Thompson is it. I don't think Sousa's at all.
Because the thing is, Thompson's the douchebag that you want to hate, and you would love for them to give you a real reason that he deserves to die. And Sousa seems like the nice, perfect guy, and you want to like him. So if you flip their roles, where Thompson is working for the good guys and Sousa is working for the bad guys.
Maybe.
I don't want to believe.
Right. But we didn't see Violet in this episode. We definitely didn't see Anna Stark, which is, she would have kicked
Anna Jarvis.
You never know, right?
No, Howard's wife's named Maria.
Right. So you're right. Anna Jarvis, we don't see her in this episode, which I'm kind of wondering what she was doing during the party, because that would have been time for her to kick some butt. Or even being included into the Arena Club girls as well. But no, we didn't see her at all. And I miss that. But I think Violet is the plant.
I'm sorry. The Arena Club thing just reminded me of, I just get confused around books.
I know. It's like, really? No, it's something. No, women are not that dumb. I'm sorry.
Well, it's the whole playing to expectations thing.
I know, but still, it's like,
I
really?
Mean, if you're sneaking into a men's club in the late 40s, just play off of every deep held suspicion that they have, deep held prejudice they have, and yeah, you'll be fine. It's, again, just perception is, it's all about perception.
Right. So Steven in the chat said, you guys need to do an Agent Carter American accent tally each show and keep it a running tally. We did get an American accent, right?
I think it's happened in once each episode so far.
Really?
I think so.
It was at the track and it was in the club. Where else was it in the second episode?
At Aes Sedai.
Yeah, when she was trying to be the scientist, she was like,
yep. I'm going to need you to sign this.
Yeah.
All right. So the running total is three.
Three.
Go. 1, 2, 3.
Easy as ABC.
You think she's going to do any other accents in the show?
Maybe a Russian one?
Yeah. Dottie's out there, right? Dottie has been freed by Red Foreman and we didn't see her again. And do you think she is, obviously she's working for the Russians, but do you, do you think she's in LA now?
I don't think she was freed. I think she was taken into FBI custody, if that's really where he took her.
See, I don't think she did. I think he took her to somewhere else and then freed her. Because
I don't know that he freed her.
I think whatever happened, it's only a matter of time till she gets out. And yeah, I think she's going to go after Peggy because she's creepily obsessed with her.
Well, I mean, we're all obsessed with Haley Atwell, so.
But not creepily. I mean,
well, speak for yourself. Okay. So, Haley, what else we got?
I think that's about it for plot points. I have a ton of quotes from this episode.
Oh,
but,
I'll bet.
Oh, we didn't really talk about Wilkes that much.
Oh, yeah.
About how he's floating around as an invisible ghost.
That's a pretty cool plot point where he can just show up anywhere.
At first, when that started happening, I was like, oh, no, it's Dr. Manhattan.
And then he can grab a penny with his finger and then lift it up the door.
As Unchained Melody starts playing.
I think we're all cool there, right?
Yeah, basically. I did like how when Howard was testing stuff, the what'll float, he's just like putting stuff in orbit around. And it kind of reminded me of this Family Guy thing where Brian's putting stuff in orbit around Peter.
So is Peggy cured? Is the whole reason why stuff was in orbit was because Wilkes was around her, right?
That was my understanding, that is that it wasn't her, it was Wilkes.
Yeah.
So she is not going to freeze.
That's what I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Any other plot points before I kill you all with quotes?
Kill us with quotes.
Want to play a sassy bar winch? I'd rather play the cowboy. I like it, but I don't think the audience is ready yet. But they're ready for a movie based on a comic book? Sounds like a dreadful idea. Have you gotten one iota of information out of her yet? Or is she still rearranging the office furniture atop your sternum?
Word gets around.
Come on. Who's a good boy? Howard's a good boy.
Oh, that was great.
That part was great. I forgot about that.
Listen, Torrance, you've got one hell of a building. Unfortunately, what you've got inside that building is duller than Sunday Mass.
It's true.
Yeah.
You're doing what you always do. Bearing an ugly truth and hoping someone will pin a medal on you.
That was like, oh.
She was on her game today, let me tell you.
Yes.
If you need a sparring partner, I'm sure Mr. Stark would be more than happy to hire one for you.
In between that, she totally just destroyed that boxing bag, a la Steve Rogers style.
Which, that kind of bugged me on their Twitter account. They were like, she learned from the best. And I'm like, excuse you, she taught the best.
No, there you go.
That's right, because he was just like a stringy little dude that got beat up a lot before. Yep. He met her.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't mention it, but Jarvis becomes the home security system.
Yes. Oh, I forgot about that, too.
I don't want to become a disembodied voice forever.
Well, awesome. It's not forever. It's just until Age of Ultron.
Right.
Then he becomes Paul Bettany.
Then he becomes Vision.
That's right. Yeah. Plane leaves in a little over an hour. Plenty of time.
Yeah, try that these days, especially at LAX. I dare you. I triple dog dare you. Oh, 405 sucks.
And that's it for Agent Carter notes.
So real quick about the Jarvis disembodied voice thing. My husband and I were watching it, and he goes, oh, no. And then I'm like, what? And he's like, what do you want to bet that little Tony, when he was programming that, did it like specifically because he hated Jarvis? I'm like, what? We were like, oh, my God. What if Jarvis was Woodhouse?
that makes 110% sense.
Like all this time I was thinking, oh, it's because he couldn't bear to let Jarvis go. No, he's just there making old Jarvis eat like a ton of spider webs.
When's Archer coming back, by the way?
End of the month, beginning of February.
Well, that would be like this week. Awesome. Can't wait. Love Archer.
You know what's weird is seeing H. John Benjamin talk and hearing Archer's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. Well, we have Jessica Jones to get through, so here we go.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Archer airs on March 31st, boo.
Oh, so far away. 2 months. You got me all excited. It's going to be this week, and it's 2 months.
Sorry.
All right, here we go. All right, we continue our Jessica Jones series watch. Lauren, yep. What do we got this week?
We have episode 3, aka It's Called Whiskey. And this one, it moves the story forward. We see Kilgrave's face. We get Jessica breaking into the hospital. We get Trish calling out Kilgrave on the radio. We get the intro of a character who shows up to annoy us all a lot later. I mean, what did y'all think?
I like it. I feel like this is the episode where stuff starts building. Because you finally get the face-to-face meeting of Kilgrave and Jessica for the first time since before the show started.
This might be my favorite Jessica Jones episode out of all of them, because it's like the one that you don't have so much creep going on. I mean, you still have creep going on, but you don't have nobody's dead, right? At least that we know of. And Jessica is starting to outwit it, but you see Jessica and Kilgrave face to face for whatever it was, 30 seconds or whatever. And you see all those flashbacks and stuff. And you have lots of superhero sex, too. So,
Lots.
So they go face to face, and he didn't try to use his power on her because he knew it wouldn't work.
Yep.
Which we know later, but
right.
You know he's trying, though.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I know. Total spoilers there. You know he's trying when he's looking at her. He's trying to command her to do something.
Well, he's thinking about it, but he doesn't want to expose himself.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And then plus, like, there's the whole distraction of, you know, sending, like, okay. So this part, the first time it happened, I'm like, oh, this is awful with the inhabitants of this apartment trying to attack Jessica. And then the next one comes and she's like, oh my God, really? And the third one comes and I'm like, okay, now it's getting ridiculous.
Many, many beds are broken and purchased.
Yes.
And windows or glass or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of furniture destroyed this episode. Yeah,
they seem to be pretty well off, though, so.
Yeah, there's at least one lock destroyed, many beds, many windows. Seriously, the furniture people and the repair people are having a pretty good year.
The door repair guys?
Yeah. Well, they would have a good year if Jessica ever paid them.
That's true.
You pay us, we give you a key, Jessica.
Don't need the key. Although she broke the door in the process, so it's not locked anymore.
I don't think she's too worried about people breaking in. She doesn't have much to steal, and she can kind of take care of herself.
Yeah.
Right. Now, she is obsessed with going after Kilgrave, and she's willing to make sacrifices. Now, she's not willing to totally make sacrifices. Like, she's calculating at one point in time. But
yeah, I really like that part.
In order to get the drugs, she does something that I know she's not going to be comfortable with later on.
Yeah.
Poor Malcolm.
I know. Malcolm just needs all the hugs.
But then at the end of the episode, you see all the pictures, and then you're like, oh.
How dare you, Malcolm?
I know. Again, spoilers, but...
Yeah, that was like the big creep moment in the episode.
But you didn't know. When you watched this the first time, you didn't know. And then, you know, later
on... That would have been the last person I would have expected.
Yeah.
Right. Because you think that he was just there to be a sympathetic character or whatever. You had no idea that he's actually one of the big characters.
You think he's there to kind of establish the environment that she's living in.
You think he's kind of like the morality pet. And instead, he's part of this horrible plan.
Talking about horrible plans, Jerry and Trish.
Jerry is terrible.
Oh my gosh.
She's a shark. Have you not seen that was established in the show?
It's there, but you're putting other people at danger. Trish, I mean, what the heck is she trying to do? I mean, ratings, I guess, but...
No, what she's doing, she's trying to help Jessica.
She's just not thinking about the consequences.
And the fact that Jerry's saying, like, oh, only, like, an idiot would believe that this happens when Trish knows for a fact that this happened to somebody that she cares deeply about. It got her angry. And the fact that she's put in this position where she can have this form of power over Kilgrave by calling him out and calling him all sorts of things. She uses that and she doesn't think. And then, yeah, it turns out horribly.
And then she hits the lobby and she's thinking about it and well, she takes out that fan.
And then later, she's training to be safe. Nobody's going to touch me or anything. And then she lets the cop in. I mean,
Well, again, there's been studies about people are more likely to listen to people who look like they're in forms of authority. Like if you just wear a lab coat, people are more likely to listen to you. And one of the things that you've seen in recent years is that people in uniforms, they'll sometimes use that uniform and the power behind it to do some really questionable things. Here in near where I live in Galveston a couple of years ago, there was a cop who pulled these women over. And when they wanted to go somewhere safer, they were basically strip searched on the side of the road. And yeah, there's just stuff like that happening. So this is kind of one of those things where it's like, well, okay, I'll come back and it'll be trouble for you. And it's that sort of using the threat of this power against them.
Right. That's just not right. No, I was wrong before, by the way. There was a death in this episode. We actually see Jessica kill Reva. So that was my bad.
It's kind of a recurring death, though.
It is, but we see it for the first time, exactly what happened. Because before, it was just she was run over by a bus. Now we actually see what happened in this episode, where she punched her and the punch killed her.
Sternumed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Jessica's got to live with that.
Yep. You know what was more traumatic than that was seeing her picture in Luke's medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
She's like, I gotta
go. And now, like, having that context for it.
And he's somebody that doesn't keep personal things anywhere. And that's hidden in his apartment, but he does keep it.
And as far as Luke's concerned, Jessica's wigged out because the dead ex-wife, in this episode, he has no idea the full extent of Jessica's involvement.
Right. And he thinks, you know, she was following him because of his abilities. He doesn't know why she really was.
Nope.
Yeah, it's sad all around.
Right. Jessica does get to fight in this episode. She fights a family.
just sounded funny.
She kind of fights Luke a little bit.
I mean, a little.
He proves she's stronger than him.
Yeah.
And then she lets it go.
Yeah.
She made her point.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, like, superheroes versus superhero sex equals all the broken furniture.
Right. And after sex burritos, too, or whatever it was.
Yeah, where they discuss their origins, accident, experiment, end of story.
Yep.
So I think Jessica is really learning how to deal with Kilgrave and what he's doing to these people. Like with the cop, she knocks him out and she understands what Kilgrave has told the cop to do. So then she gets to the end and
she's like, oh, no, you totally did it. It's fine now.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, have either of y'all ever read Timothy Zahn's Thrawn trilogy?
Yes.
Not yet.
Okay. Well, in it, I'm sorry, Haley, I'm going to spoil something in it for you.
Okay.
Spoilers for like a 25-year-old book.
Sweet Christmas.
It might be older than that.
Sweet Christmas. But there's this one character who has this like mental compulsion on her to kill another character. And after the course of like several books, once this other character realizes, oh no, it's this actual like mental compulsion, she's not just doing it to be a jerk, this character who was supposed to have been killed ends up having this like evil clone. So she kills the clone and she's like, oh, it's fine now, I killed him. And that's kind of what it reminded me of. The whole technically, you know, it's the technically correct is the best kind of correct. Right. She's like, there, you totally jumped off the building. You just missed it.
So she figures it out with that. So then when it's in Trish's apartment later on, she knows how to handle it. Oh, no, you totally killed her. You figured it out. Let's move on.
Yeah, you totally killed her. And then you totally jumped off this building. It's all right. It's fine. And he's like, wait, what? She's like, go home. Let's just move on. And he doesn't. And it's terrible. He is terrible.
Terrible.
The worst.
He's coming back.
I know. Ugh.
So Jessica would be great in a wrestling cage match because she knows how to do the choke hold.
Yes.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Doesn't work if you don't say it.
Does that remind you anything? Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
I haven't seen that movie in a while.
Veronica with...
with the Hulk, yes.
The Hulk,
it's not as rewatchable as some of the others are.
Sadly, yeah.
I'll admit, I bought the Blu-ray and I don't think I've watched it after the first time. And I think I had it on the background that one time. But The Martian, six times. Six times. Going for seven.
I really need to watch that one.
Have to use both hands to count.
I know. I'm going to watch it again this weekend, at least once.
I really need to watch that one.
Have you never seen it or did you see it in the theater?
I didn't get to see it when it was in the theaters and I haven't seen it yet.
One thing I will tell you about The Martian, and this is totally off subject, you know, totally. But if I just have it on the background and I'm passing by the TV and I just glance toward the TV, 5 seconds, and it's got me captivated for the entire 2 hours and 20 minutes. So no productivity happens. Just completely enthralled.
Somewhat related to Marvel when, because Sebastian Stan's in it, he came down here to Johnson Space Center and was, I guess, doing a talk about the movie. And I really wanted to go, but it wasn't open to non-employees. But there's pictures of him riding around on the little thing and being like, yeah, with his Bucky hair. So it's hilarious.
Sebastian Stan is a big Marvel Easter egg in the movie. There's also one other Easter egg in the movie, and I won't spoil it for you, but there's one other, and it's kind of big. So after you watch it,
I know there's
we'll
like a good Sean Bean moment there. I think that was from...
Yeah, there is a Sean Bean Lord of the Rings moment in there as well.
I've seen that on Tumblr. It's pretty great.
It's awesome. That whole scene is great. All right, let's go back to Jessica Jones. Do you guys have anything else to say, or have we walked all the way through it?
We get to see a lot more of how she's losing the whole putting up walls thing that she had in the first episode where she's driving everyone away. Yeah. I mean, she tries to drive Luke away here, but she totally dropped the whole stay away from me, Trish thing, and the walls are coming down around her.
And her plan is formulating. She's got the drugs now, so she needs to take it to the next step. Haley, do you have anything else?
Quotes.
All right, let's do it.
Robin says you're too loud.
That's great.
Unless you know any morally compromised doctors. All of the doctors I know save small villages.
We did not talk about Jerry's ex in this at all.
Who I did not realize was played by Calamity Jane from Deadwood.
Oh.
I haven't seen Deadwood.
Neither have I, actually, but I do know that.
She was not helping Jessica at all.
Well, she's angry.
She did a little.
Jessica works for her ex, so soon to be ex.
I don't have access to surgical anesthesia, so here's a prescription for an antipsychotic.
For you.
Right. Yeah, I wonder if it would have worked if she gave it to Kilgrave. Probably not.
No.
This is a very broken door.
It was. It's fixed now, but for the time being.
This is our business. We do not run a charity for women with broken doors. That might be the end of the quotes.
All right.
Sweet Christmas.
Sweet Christmas, exactly. So I think that... as we go forward, I'll have to reevaluate, but I'm pretty sure this is probably my favorite episode because after this, it just gets darker and darker and darker until episode 10 when it gets really dark. And then
more and more people get deader and deader and deader.
Yeah, so this might be my favorite episode. We'll see. All right. So are you gals ready for some news?
Yep.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Okay, we're talking the weekly Marvel news this week, and we've got Most Wanted.
Right, which is the spinoff series with Mockingbird and Lance Hunter, and they're doing some casting. Delroy Lindo has been cast as Dominic Fortune.
Interesting.
Who is not a character I know very much about at all.
Yeah, I know he's from the comics, but yep. I know who Delroy Lindo is. Honestly, one of my favorite roles of his, I'm pretty sure this was him, in Up, you know, the Doberman with the voice that's like really high and squeaky.
Yeah.
I think that was Delroy Lindo.
Oh,
I think I remember that.
I do not like the Cone of Shame.
Yes.
Squirrel. Awesome.
But yeah, Dominic Fortune was a character created in the 70s, 1975.
Which you are almost there.
Almost.
What are you at, 73?
No, I'm still at 71 because I haven't been reading lately.
Yeah, 71.
I've been busy.
There you go. Don't forget, Captain Marvel came out last week, so go and pick that up. It was a fun issue. I enjoyed reading it. So, moving on to...
some wild speculation about one of the Netflix series. Maybe a Luke Cage premiere date. Maybe a return date for Jessica Jones. Maybe absolutely nothing to do with either of those things.
Lauren, we're totally going to have to work on the cues for the Luke Cages, because I was looking for a big...
Yeah, Luke Cage!
Okay, fair enough.
She's under the weather tonight.
Fair enough. It happens.
But all of this speculation is based on a single photo in a tweet. It's from the at Jessica Jones Twitter account. And it's a file that says, Cage, November. And from this, people are speculating that Luke Cage is going to premiere in November.
Which would have been in the Jessica Jones time spot from 2015.
Which is why they're also saying maybe that's the return.
I'm trying to see what the other thing is. The one in yellow highlighter, it says hope and then something.
It's probably another date if she's got a consistent filing system, which she may not.
M. It's something with an M.
Missing.
Missing.
Oh. Luke Cage is missing.
No, hope. Missing.
Hope. Missing.
Oh, she is missing, isn't she? Okay.
Not anymore.
Right. So moving on to Doctor Strange. What do we got? We got some news there.
They have cast Wong.
Really?
Yes.
And Wong will be played by Wong.
Haven't they been shooting for a while, though?
Yeah.
Wow. So this announcement, they must have cast this a while back.
They probably did. But yeah, Benedict Wong is cast as Wong. So Benedict Wong, he's been in a lot of stuff. It says here he's in The Martian.
He is. He plays the head of the JPL in The Martian.
He plays Kublai Khan on Marco Polo. And what I know him best from is Sunshine.
Oh, yeah. Which I've never seen, but I've heard a lot about.
Oh, my God. You need to see it. The science is completely inaccurate, but it's a good movie.
Probably bugged the crap out of me then. And talking about crap, he does need a change of pants in The Martian. All right. So moving on, we have a spoiler article talking about.
So we're starting to get to the point where we're getting news about Thor Ragnarok. One of these stories has plot details, which I consider spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
So read at your own risk.
All right.
It's discussing Hulk's role in the movie, and that's all I will say about it. You can check that link out if you want. It'll be in our show notes.
With the big tag of spoilers on it.
Yes. I put it in very large letters. And then the next thing is casting, which is fair game as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Cate Blanchett was announced as part of the cast a while back. Now we know who she's going to be playing. Hela.
Yes.
Who is the ruler of Hell.
And also Loki's daughter.
Which may or may not be something they go with for the movie.
Yeah, but no, I'm really looking forward to this. There was some stuff with Hela in the comics that I wish they would bring into the movies, but I don't think they will because it involves some time travel. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to Cate Blanchett, first of all, in a Marvel movie. And second of all, as Hela, because...
that would be hella awesome.
Come on, Cate Blanchett is already a goddess. Just making her into a literal goddess is not that far of a step.
So, of course, she's from Lord of the Rings, right? But wasn't she in the Captain Whatever in the World of Tomorrow as well?
Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow? No, yeah. I don't think so.
No, that had Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
But obviously, she's been in a ton of stuff. And
yes.
She's Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, Deadpool.
So
you can never go wrong talking about Deadpool.
No, you can't.
I cannot wait to watch this movie.
Oh my god, I know. It's going to be the best Valentine's Day ever. So, Deadpool posted an Australia Day message.
Oh, yeah.
It is amazing.
Okay, what does it say?
Essentially, happy Australia Day. He does a bad accent and then freaks out at a hat. And anything else you're going to have to watch, because I will not be able to do it justice. Just watch the video we're going to link. Just watch it.
All right. Good to know. And then moving on to some games, video games. I think we're talking about some Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, right?
Yeah. Lego fans think that Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be the next game in the Marvel Lego movie games.
I want Rocket with the machine gun.
Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm. Well, or you could be Groot, too, but I want to be Rocket with the machine gun. If I'm going to play a video game, I don't want to be a tree. Just saying. No offense, Groot. All right. Any other news?
Not that I've seen or heard.
All right. We're going to move on to some feedback. We did actually have some additional news, but it's all in the feedback. So we elected to put it in the feedback section instead. So Richard, our pal on Twitter, at Kodiak GWC, tweeted us a few stories, one of which was that Captain America Civil War may indeed be spoiler proof. And why is that? They might have shot different death endings.
That's actually pretty smart.
Yeah,
they did that with Battlestar too at the end of season 3. They filmed like 3 or 4 different endings to that episode.
Yeah.
Spoilers, that's the one where Kara comes back from the dead.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Yep. All right. So if Haley was involved in your productions, this sort of knowledge could be yours for your storytelling. So they're just saying. Okay. And then at Born to Eat Bacon, which I will say, thank you very much, sir, for the offer. Lauren is very gracious to accept your offer. And she needs to get in touch with you if she hasn't already. But
I have.
Okay, good. At Born to Eat Bacon said, Jessica Jones is a beautifully assembled string of really horrible events.
That's a very good description of the series.
That's the best description I've seen. So at Born to Eat Bacon, you rock. You're the man there. Okay, going back to Richard, once again, that's at Kodiak GWC on Twitter. He actually forwarded us the Luke Cage premiere date story. So thank you very much. So on Twitter, we asked a question this week, and pay attention to our Twitter and Facebook accounts. We will be having lots more of this stuff going on in the future. So we asked, is Bernard Stark A, just a flamingo with an attitude, B, a secret SSR prototype security droid, or C, a plant of the Secret Empire? So we had a few responses. I'll just read a couple off. At Born to Eat Bacon said, oh, C, final answer. So there you go. It's your Secret Empire plant. And then Christy at Adana Girl said, he's Hydra. So everybody wants the devil in pink to be the enemy.
Right now in the chat, Cajun Sean says LMD prototype.
Star Saber says, Bernard is the first manifestation of Ultron. I like that.
Bernard. It's all the same. It's in Santa Claus. So there you go. All right. And then we got a great tweet from Beth and at TNSBAW. She said, I love your podcast and like what they're doing with Whitney Frost. This show is just magical to me. I think anything Haley Atwell is involved in is magical. Twitter was so magical until she deleted her account. So
yeah, now it's a barren wasteland. There's no reason to be there anymore.
No,
it's full of sadness,
except for to pay attention to our Twitter account.
Well, yeah,
we're trying to fill the Haley Atwell sized hole.
We'll get there. Okay. And then on Facebook, we put a post out and said, who are you most excited to see on Agent Carter tonight? This was yesterday before the episode aired. Wynne Everett, who is Whitney Frost / Meta Mask. Bridget Reagan, who is Dottie Underwood, who was not in the episode, sadly. Lot Verbeek, is that how you pronounce her name? Verbeek? Or is it Verbeek?
Yeah.
Okay, Verbeek, we'll just go with that. Who is Anna Jarvis, who is also not in the episode, but was in the credits prior to the episode. Or Haley Atwell. And then Carol said, but why do you just have to pick one? Because we were asking. That's why, Carol, just pick one. But thank you very much. We understood that. And then you came back and said, well, always Peggy Carter. But I must say, Anna Jarvis is very quickly becoming another favorite. Yes.
I love how delightfully evil Dottie Underwood is. And I really wanted to see her again.
Yeah, it's they're just all so well written. I mean, Dottie has that very enthusiastic evilness to her. And Whitney, she's brilliant and manipulative.
She's a mastermind.
And then Anna Jarvis is just so adorable.
She
just
is.
Just everyone is, I just love them all so much, even the ones
I
hate.
You know who I really want to see is Angie.
Yes. We know she's at least having an appearance this season.
Yes. I took a look at IMDb to make sure she is credited for the series in this year, but I don't know when. So
soon.
Looking forward to it. Over on YouTube, we had a couple of comments again. Yes, we put our video up, this blab recording, we actually put up on the Gonna Geek YouTube, so you can catch us there. And we have frequent commenter, and I'm going to butcher this name unless...
Nariantix.
Is that from something?
I don't know, I'm guessing.
Okay, so Nariantix...
If I pronounced it wrong, it's my fault, not yours.
Woohoo!
Either that or Nariantix. But I don't know.
Oh, could be. Okay, anyway.
It could be Nariantix.
Take pride, SP, in your love of The Last Ship. Yes, I do. I take pride in it. It's great. Sitwell's in there. So, you know, and he's not dead. Okay. And then Nariantix said, agreed, Anna is the sleeper hit of the season. I don't think, well, maybe sleeper. But I think Marvel knew what they had in her as they were going forward.
I mean, when they cast... the actress's name I just blanked out on. Scrolling up to remind Lottie Verbeek.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, yeah, you kind of got to hope that she'd, you know, bring something to it. And yeah, they did a good job with that.
They did. And then, since we're talking about Jessica Jones, our friend Andy emailed us, didn't he, Lauren?
Yes. So, a couple of... choice things from his review of the episode. Okay, that was a hot choice to begin the third episode. Don't get any ideas about my extremities. Beef would have nightmares about those ideas.
I think we all would.
Some more than others.
Yeah, fair and enough.
Yes, I do absolutely love his review. Slowly but steadily, I get pulled into the story. 8 out of 10 wrecked beds. Seriously, okay. Andy has the best rating scale.
It's a different rating scale every episode. It's always out of 10, but it's a different rating. And this is a wrecked bed, and he had a couple others before. And we already have his feedback for episode 4. So when we talk about that next week, it'll be awesome. All right. You guys ready to walk this one out?
Mm-hmm.
Join us next week as we discuss both Agent Carter Season 2, Episode 4, Smoke and Mirrors, and Jessica Jones Season 1, Episode 4, aka 99 Friends. We have a bunch of contact information. I'm just going to say go to legendsofshield.com. You'll find everything. And don't forget our YouTube channel either. That is Gonna Geek on YouTube. So we have a voicemail line. Don't forget feedback there. You can get us feedback on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. And I just want to say thank you very much to these ladies for doing all the wonderful work that they do for the podcast throughout the week. I appreciate you, Haley, you, Lauren, and you together. I appreciate you. And if we're ever together, I will give you one knife in the middle of the table, walk away, and see which one of you ends up on top.
I don't think we've got a whole lot of reason to kill each other at this point.
Yeah, we kind of don't. I mean, Marvel hasn't even offered us a job yet.
Yeah, and they haven't even said that it's only going to be one job.
Yeah, they might offer two.
Yeah, so there's no need to kill her yet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yet.
We'll just keep that one in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but thank you very much.
Thank you to everybody who follows us on Twitter and who tweets us during the week with news articles or comments or, you know, during the live tweets. I hope y'all enjoy the live tweets because I really love doing them. And yeah, just thank you for all your feedback and everything. We really appreciate it. We love you guys.
Yes. Thank you for all your feedback. And remember, send us feedback now because we're doing a giveaway. and it's going to be a sweet Guardians of the Galaxy crate. So let us know what animals should join Bernard at the Stark Mansion. Let us know a little bit about that animal. We look forward to hearing all of the awesomeness you guys are going to send us.
Extra points if you start a Twitter account with said animal.
Yeah, if you start a Twitter account, I mean, that automatically puts you in the running for like number one slot. So
there you go.
You could send us a tweet from the new Twitter account.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great.
That would be awesome. Bonus points if you start a Twitter war with Bernard Stark.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yes.
I'll just mail you the Guardians Galaxy crate. We don't even have to go beyond that. But in the meantime, thank you for coming. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
All right, Haley.
Yes.
The one thing that we didn't do, probably my fault, is we didn't talk about the director and stuff, but I took a look at there was a mixture of like brand newbies and like a ton of experience. Did you take a look at any of that stuff?
No, I leave that stuff to you.
Yeah. Well, David Platt, who directed Agent Carter, has a lot of TV directing experience. The writer, Jose Molina, is just chock full of everything. He's a co-executive producer, of course, with Agent Carter. And Terra Nova, Grimm, Haven. And Haven, you never watched Haven, did you? Haven ended with William Shatner coming in for the last like three or four, maybe five episodes, something like that. And
it's my understanding that a lot of people didn't watch Haven.
You shouldn't. You should not. Definitely should not. And it was an ending that was almost Chuckish. And I was like, eh. But I just wanted to see where it went. And I fully knew I was going to be disappointed. So maybe going into it, knowing I was fully going to be disappointed, I wasn't. So I don't know.
See, here's the thing. At a certain point, you watch enough that you're committed. And it's like, well, I've put this much time and energy into this show. I've got to finish now.
So this entire season of Heroes, since I watched the previous five series, I was committed. And wasn't.
See, I didn't watch season four, which is the last one before it got canceled, because season three was so terrible.
I thought they had five seasons.
Four seasons.
Well, anyway, this one wasn't all that great either. But did you watch X-Files?
No, I've never seen X-Files.
I have never seen X-Files either, but apparently it was the talk of the office, so I might have to pick it up. And they said that you don't have to watch the back, whatever it was, 8, 9 seasons in the movies and stuff like that, but you'll miss a lot of references if you don't. So I'm like, yeah, okay, that tells me I want the references, so I got to go back and watch it, which tells me it'll be on the list, but, you know, maybe when I retire.
It's going to be down a ways because you know how much there is to get through.
Yeah, definitely. I want to do a Stargate rewatch.
Yeah, me too.
And then over on Jessica Jones, the director, David Petraka, I just butchered his name. He's got a lot of pretty decent stuff. He's even got 8 episodes of Big Love, which was that polygamy show on HBO, Everwood, Dawson's Creek.
I have not seen that one.
You have not seen Big Love? You're not missing much. I mean, it got kind of long in the tooth at the end. But it was written by Liz Freeman. It was a team. And
Liz Friedman, who was one of the big producers and writers on Hercules and Xena.
Executive producer on Jessica Jones.
Yep.
And then she brought along kind of a newbie, Scott Reynolds, to fill in. So Cajun Sean in the chat said he watched the premiere of Lucifer and loved it. It was devilish fun.